have any guesses, any estimates? Haven't done any homework on the internet, find out about the issue we spoke about before? I had an idea by using a hot tub as a way to determine this. They have hot tubs that have come with digital temperature adjustments. You ever seen those? It tells you that the temperature is X or Y or Z. Now, the Rashba said that a person does not bathe in water, which is Yad Sol Edesbo. Am I right? We read that last week? Correct? You didn't read that, Rashba? I apologize. Turn to Rashba, page 42, I think it is. I'm sorry. The Rashba says over here on page 42, column 2, middle of the line, Sharein, in the middle of the column, Sharein Adam Rochets B'mayim Chamin Shehu Mesaleid Bohen. Pretty clear. The Rashba says you do not bathe in such hot water. So if the water is, how should we say, bathable, you can bathe in that water, apparently it's not considered to be the level of Yatzel Edesbo. There's a bit of a problem because the Rashba says somewhat differently on the next page, page 43. You'll have to tell me if we read this last week or not. Please, I don't remember from week to Monday to next, I apologize. The Rashba on the next page, which is the next column, it's page 43, column 1, the Rashba says as follows. Aval ba'ambati, about the 10th line, shagomdim l'rechitza mechamemim harbe, it's very, very hot. Hilkach tzonen l'solchamen osu li'olam, she'yevsha lovo l'dehevsha l'dehevsha bishul. When you pour your cold water into the bath, it's going to be bishul, yatzal edespo. How do you reconcile those stira? I'm asking the Tamidim, she'yichyu. On 42, column 2, we just read, he said, Sherei Ein Adam Rochets B'mayim Chamin Shu Mesaleid Bahem. Here it says, on page 43, column 1, what does he say, talking about an ambati, a bath? He says, it's Mechamim M'harbe, Hilkach Tzon and L'Tzol Chamin, also the Olam, She'yev Shal Lovel Adei Hev Shal Adei Bishl. Bishl means Yatzal Edesbo. So make up your mind, Rashba, do you bathe in Yatzal Edesbo, do you not? Who can answer this question? Good question, huh?
Are you first stepping into the Yatzal Edesbo, or are you letting it gradually warm up?
Aha. Uh-huh. Interesting possibility. One answer could be that the Gemara has in Masechta Shabbos at Membeis that they would not only bathe in the water, they would also use it as a sauna. And for that purpose, the water would get very, very hot. A second answer might be, they made the water very hot, and then they mixed in cold water to make it lukewarm. That's a new Gemara in Rashi, page 7, Membeis Amud Aleph. Rashi, take a look at Rashi, please. Ela b'Shabbos v'chitza b'chamen leka. Bitmiya. Torah b'shimimim afilu b'chamen letov tzon en asur. You can't mix hot into cold. You can't mix cold into hot. The Gemara wants to know, if that's the case, lo mashkachas chamen shuchmu, whenever you make a bath, you're mixing hot and cold water together. So then how can it be? You can't wash your hands and face in hot water on Shabbos. So from Rashi you see that the very normal, maybe the exclusive way to prepare water properly for a bath is to mix hot and cold water together. So maybe the answer to the Rashi is that in an abati the water has to get very hot, but only in order to subsequently be mixed with cold water to moderate it. So there's no steer between these two columns. Page 42, column 2, he says you don't actually go into the water when it's mesaleid behen. And on 43, he says, well, in order to prepare the bath, you have to originally start off with the water, which is above Yad Sol Edesbo. So even if you're going to pour some cold water in, it's going to first be, at least at some stage, above the Yad Sol Edesbo. Now, that's one way to resolve it. I'm not sure if it's the correct way, but it is a possibility. Now, a question. Did we discuss last week the statement in brackets in this Rashba? No? Okay, so let's discuss it now. The Rashba says this is true when it comes to water in a bathtub. But if it's only in a kos, okay, if it's only in a cup, holo klisheni, where the brackets are on page 43, column 1, la'ola mutter, she'eno ba elide hefsher, it's only going to be made lukewarm. Vafilu hayu amayim she'yad soledes bohen le'achash in esarvu tzon on l'socha, even if the net result of the mixing of the cold into the hot is above yad soledes bo, eino machmas hatzonenin shebo or shavu lios yad soledes, ela machmas harishonim shalon etztananu. This Rashba does not seem to conform to Torah Mada. The Rashba is saying that if you take cold water and put it into hot, and the sum total is hot, the cold water didn't get hot, just the hot water remained hot, and the cold water remains cold. Not only does that counter our simple intuition that this yesh bila, everything gets mixed together, but it can easily be disproved by a simple experiment. All you have to do is take cold water in a bottle. Turn to page 95, please, where they quote this question from Shlomo Zalman, Zichrono Livracha. It's in the footnote on page 95 in Rabbi Ida Sefer, the last 9 lines, quotes from Shlomo Zalman Akasha, quote, Hare einenu ros, shicholim lahochei mayim ayadei kli b'toch kli sheni. Simple, you put a bottle into a klisheni, and the water or the milk or the formula in the bottle gets so hot, you can't touch it. That's a fact. I know for myself, when I used to warm bottles for my children, I was on duty on Shabbos, and I was told to put the water into a klisheni, which I did, that the milk or formula into a klisheni, which I did. I was also warned, before you give it to the baby, don't you dare give it to the baby, before you take some of the milk and take out of that, let it fall on your wrist, because chas v'shalom is too hot, you can burn the baby. So I remember it happened to me once, at least. I was put the water in there, and I got involved in a bit of a sugya, and I came out later, and I took the thing out, and I put it over. Whoa! It was the hot soledes. It was too very, very hot. So I'm telling you from personal experience, it happened to a cliche. But Rav Shlomo Zalman, you don't need me. Rav Shlomo Zalman said so. He's telling the truth. So what's the Rashba talking about? Comes up Eidah with a teretz. I believe it's a very wonderful teretz. He seems to say it independently, and I'm learning Pshat in the Rashba that way. Hanira Bezeh, he says like this, Kli Rishon, because it has, we saw last time, I believe, that it's hot walls. Lefichach, the line begins, 6 lines up. Roy Levashel, and he adds, V'derech Bishul Bekach. This is the Derech Bishul. Derech Bishul, Kli Rishon, hot walls. As opposed to klisheni, kevan shaholichu miskarer ein derech levashabo, rak levashabo. He added a very important word, eino derech. And he quotes earlier, it's eino derech is a separate leniency. It's not just a plain shini, which is potter avalaser. It's what Rav Moshe Feinstein meant with respect to Bishul Bechama. Did we discuss Bishul Bechama with microwaves a little bit? So it came up that if it's not the normal way to cook, it might be at least at most of the rabbanon, if it's not the normal way to do it. And therefore, my pshat is in the Rashba as follows. The Rashba didn't mean physically that the water doesn't get hot. Of course it gets hot. If the sum total is yad soledes bo, of course every molecule is yad soledes bo. Rashba is not denying reality. What he means is, since it's not your intention is not that the water reach above yad soledes bo. Your intention is that it should be lukewarm, a little less than yad soledes bo. So therefore, that's your intention. If it so happens that some water which was cold became hot, yatza lettuce bo, you didn't want that. And since you didn't want that, it's like a kind of a lo nichale, and it's after all a kli sheni in this case, which is not derech bishul bekach, therefore it's permissible. I repeat, the fact that it's not derech bishul would make it at most a derabonim. And the rabbonim will make it, since that your intention is not to create a situation of bishul, you want it to be less than yatsa lettuce bowl, because you don't drink yatsa lettuce bowl. That's also a Rashba. In the top of the second column of page 42, Rashba says, Ein Adam Shosa Kamen Gemurim Ela Poshrin. You're going to burn yourself. You don't drink water, which is Yatzo lettuce bow. So if it got too hot, then it's not, you didn't really want it. And even the words of Rashba have to be understood in this light. Well, it's a bit of a stretch. I think it's the only way out that I can think of. Let's repeat it again. That's what happened. Bottom line, it's what happened. Eino machmas. What does that mean? He didn't, that's not what he wanted. That's not what he wanted. He wanted to cool off the first ones. And he failed. He failed to achieve his desired goal. He wanted to cool the first water up to be under Yatzel Lettuce. And he goofed, miscalculated. And what happened, happened. It's not denying the fact. It's a bit of a stretch, but that's the only way I can read the Rashba. And I believe Rabbi Ida said it on his own. And I think the Rashba has to be interpreted that way as well. Otherwise, I don't know a way out to explain what he said. Al kol ponim. This is the issue of kli sheni. So what emerges? It's mutter in a cup that you drink. Usser in a bath. You don't go into a bath, which is yatzo lettuce. So my pshat was, because you're going to heat it to a very high temperature, and then it's going to gradually dissipate. My problem, of course, becomes that people drink very, very hot tea. Very hot tea. Very hot. It's common. Or hot chicken soup. Maybe not as hot as the tea. And the question becomes, how is that possible? Yatzo lettuce bow. So the highest big fights, what yatzo lettuce bow is. You're looking at Rabbi Ida Sefer. Take it back a few pages to page 89. He gives you all the various options. So on top he says, well, between 110 and 160. And at the very bottom, some say it's 98.6. Wow. Some say 102, 104, 113, 120. Some said 110. That's the bottom end. And how do you, what is the shear that you know for sure? Yeah, so let us measure the Chiddush 160. One place even said 175. And that seems to be much too hot. That's much too hot to be considered the boundary for Yatza lettuce bow. I'll try to bring you a raya. It's much too hot. You tell me what you think of my raya. The Gemara is naf mem beis amad aleph. Take that back. Lamit tes amad aleph. And lamit tes amad aleph is a discussion of whether there is an chiyuv of bishul bechama to cook something in the sun. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara thinks that the machlokas hatanoim is the bishul bechama or not. The Gemara says, but na nostin tavshel l'toch abor b'shul shul yishomer b'samayim ayofim b'royim b'yushal yitzananu b'satzone bechama b'shul shul yichamu. So the Gemara thinks the machlokas hatanoim. Rabbi Yossi holds mutter and others hold us. The Gemara says no. Bechama itself, everyone agrees, is shari. Now, what are we talking about? If it's not yatzo lettuce bow, it's mutter even in a fire. It must be yatzo lettuce bow. And despite that fact, we paskin to be bishul b'chama's mutter. Told us chama's the rabbanim. We spoke about microwaves, etc. Wait a minute. That means if you put water in the sun, it can reach yatzo lettuce. Well, how hot can water get if you leave it in the sun? All right, Eretz Yisrael, hot sun. All right, you leave it there for a long time. How hot? Who's the scientist here? How hot can water get if you leave it in the sun for a long time? Anybody know? Did you find it on your machine? No? I'd like you to tell it to me. Find out. It seems to me that temperature must be labeled as the yatzo lettuce bow. Right? Now, if you could get to 160 in the sun, that might be the shear. I can't believe it. Who believes you can get to 160 degrees of water in the sun?
Can I?
Yeah?
Have you ever heard of Archimedes' death ray? Archimedes made a thing with mirrors and so on.
Not mirrors. Mirrors is, I believe mirrors is told as Cham. We're talking about Cham itself.
He set fire to ships using the sun.
He didn't. He didn't see the Mythbusters on there.
He did or he didn't, but
to pick Nav Gavina.
My understanding is that the sun itself, without Tolda, without reflections and refractions and all kinds of prisms, cannot reach such a high temperature. But correct me if I'm wrong. I'd like to find out from Talmidim how hot water can get in the sun. Seems to me that as hot as that gets, that's the max, right? That's the top that you consider to be the shear yatzo lettuce bow based on this Gemara. I'm just giving you my opinion. I did try to find out from people using hot tubs, because it says in the Rashba you don't go into a tub which is yatzal lettuce but water. Apparently, people can tolerate hot tubs certainly at 110. Certainly 110. So it should have at least a guarantee there of Moshe's right for his low ball figure, that the yatzal lettuce ball cannot be any lower than 110. My understanding was that people take hot tubs even as high as 120, that they set it at. Again, I've never been in a hot tub, but so not a digital one. But they set it with, for, you know, and that should indicate that maybe that's the shear of yatzal lettuce, 120 or something like that. I don't know. I'm just trying to throw out numbers. You saw how many different approximations there were. We don't know. Rav Moshe wanted to, he said, until 160, you have a problem. Now, according to Rav Moshe, the following problem could exist in your house this Shabbos. Think about this one for a second. I have an urn, and the urn has a tube on the outside, which tells you how many cups are left of water in the urn, correct? Who has such a thing in the house? There you go. How does it work? The water goes down that tube, and then as you take out a cup, so everything goes, the water seeks its own level, goes down, 99% of it goes down in the urn itself to fill up your teacup, and a mashu goes down in the tube and it goes into the main body of water, correct? That's how it works? How are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? That small amount of water, which is going from the tube into the urn, is now being cooked. So what are you telling me? It was cooked before also, because it was already in the tube. The reality is, that's what I'm told, that the water in the tube is not as hot as the water in the urn. You'll tell me, that's impossible. It's all one big body of water. No, the connection between them is so small. It's very, very small. And therefore, all the waters don't mix together automatically. And if your urn is set, just to use that expression, for 100 and... How hot is the urn? 180? Anyone have any idea? How hot is water in an urn? Nobody knows. I'd say 180, 170. I'm just guessing it's somewhere around there. It's possible that the water in the tube is in fact less. So I saw, I think it was one of the Gedolim Eretz Yisrael some years back, said, I measured the water in the tube. I had a fancy gizmo thermometer. And what are you talking about? The water in the tube reached 130 degrees. It's already is yatzal lettuce bo beforehand. Ha-nicha, if 130 degrees is yatzal lettuce bo. According to Rav Moshe, he's not convinced yatzal lettuce to 160. So it should come out. They shouldn't be allowed to use this urn on Shabbos because the 130 is going up now to 170. You just passed the red line. That's a potential problem. Just give me a typical Shabbos kitchen. You have potential problems. It's a whole tumult of the postman about this question. But it all obviously depends, at least in part, on what is a shear yatzal lettuce bo. In Eretz Yisrael, they were convinced 130 is already yatzal lettuce bo. Maybe they're right. I must say, but Moshe was worried until 160. Yes?
Even if the water in the tube is less than yatzal lettuce bo, you should be able to use the same term of the drops of water in the teacup.
In the teacup, at least had it been at one point yatzal lettuce bo. This water may have never been yatzal lettuce bo. Some of the rabbon had an interesting aid to solve this problem. What they said? Before Shabbos, tip the urn. If you tip the urn, the tube will empty out. All the water will go into the main body of the urn. Then when you set it right again, so all that water has already been at one point in its life, the 170 degrees. Then it would be comparable to the then it should be mutta for sure, because it's presumably the quantum ramah known as down on the garment. So that's an eitzah to, if it's necessary to do in this case. Okay, well, it's an interesting discussion. Okay, so we have these issues of how you define yatzal lettuce bo, and I'm afraid that we're not going to solve the issues today. But again, we saw the estimates that they vary. What a wide estimate! It could be they're arguing about the following interesting question. Is yatzal lettuce bo measured by somebody who's going to respond instinctively, or someone who's going to respond premeditatedly? In other words, if someone just suddenly puts some hot water on you, you may just recoil. But if you're planning to put your hands in the hot water, you can obviously tolerate a higher level, because you're steeling yourself. And some say that you leave it there for a minute. Some say that yatzal lettuce bo and yad nichves bo are very similar. They use the word nichves. they probably mean is it's soledes immediately for fear shematikava. That's what Rashi said. If you leave your hand in for too long, it can in fact become scalded. And as opposed to a tinok, we can become scalded instantaneously. That's why. Now, of course, we go back to our Hatzola guys. Huh? How hot must the water be to cause a scalding? At different levels of what's called scalding. I imagine scalding means kviya tachas kviya. There's some change in the color of the skin. If I put my hand in 120 degree water and I leave it there for 5 minutes, will it become scalded? This should be able to be determined on your internet again. What are the facts over here? So, yes?
Can we do those experiments a few years back?
Sure.
What was
the
high number?
Steve was right. We did experiments, but they weren't, as you say in our language, conclusive. We didn't know for sure what the numbers were. So that's why I'm still waiting for new experimenters to do more controlled experiments to get me with a better number. Right. Good. The kids, I'm just giving you some of the parameters over here. We're both had enough time spent on this topic. We have to now discuss some of the more pressing issues that we have to talk about. This Rashba is a very, very important Rashba. And once you have this Rashba, we have to analyze the halachic status of Klisheni. We saw the Gemara from the Farish, Klisheni Eina Mevashel, correct? Do we see that Gemara? Let's hope so. Remember Mebeis, Klisheni Eina Mevashel. Despite that fact we saw last week, two reasons to be Machmer Klisheni. Who remembers the two reasons? Who remembers it? We had two reasons, not one, two.
Looks like
cooking. That's correct. Tos lama testament bays mirzik and mevashel.
Oh, Kali
Abishal. The second reason. Now, we have to understand that there were a number of exceptions to the rule, which are mutter and klisheni. One of them is water. That's a gemara naf mem bays. One of them is tavlin, which also that's mem bays and mem bays. So on naf mem bays, there are two exceptions. Water and spices. So when it comes to spices, Tos says that's different. Not mirzik and mevashel. Why? What does that mean? I always thought it meant that it's a secondary ingredient. And secondary ingredients are not considered to be subject to Mirzik and Mevashel. No one thinks you're cooking this ingredient. They think you're cooking the primary ingredient. Of course, if that's true, then we can say that Tavlin is scrupulously defined, doesn't include everything. For example, what about coffee and tea? Is coffee and tea tavlin? We discussed this last week. I don't remember. Rabbi Moshe said that's considered to be tavlin. Rabbi Ida said not necessarily, because it's the only ingredient in the cup. That's based upon this read of the Tosfos. Or Zeruah seems to have a different read. Or Zeruah says in Siman Zayin that the again quoting from Tosfos. Or Zeruah says the reason why tavlin is not considered to be something which is merzik and mevashel in klisheni, because your intention is not to cook it. Your intention is only to give flavor. Take a tibet. Tibet goes into the garbage. That was the rule found on page 32, where he says, top of column 1, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, merzik and bishul, aval gabe tavlin ein nira bishul, since it's used as a flavor, could use it just for the same money in cold liquids, so therefore you cannot consider you're cooking it. I told you the tea you're throwing out. You still want the flavor. So that's a little bit of a, that's a different shot. That would apply even to coffee and tea. And that'd be considered to be cliche. However, the sad fact is, and I think we saw the Urayim last time, if I'm not mistaken, did we? About Klishlishi? Even Klishlishi is a big problem when it comes to tea. And if the shot we saw from Rabbi Eider is correct, it depends upon Dago Bekach, certainly a problem with Klishlishi. Because Klishlishi is a very, very common way to make tea. Simple. You have a hot water kettle. You pour water into a pitcher. You pour the pitcher into the cup and put the tea bag in. That's Meisim B'chol Yom, literally. So you can't say klishlish is not ender bishul b'kach. It just doesn't work. It doesn't add up. So maybe kli revi might help. Sorry to be such a nudge. But maybe if you have to use a tea bag, you really shouldn't use it at all. If you have to do me a favor, use it in kli revi. So this way I think most people don't do it in kli revi. This is, again, my darko b'kach theory. Yes?
I thought that you said last week that there's no such thing even as a klishlishi.
Correct. My Rebbe said there's no such thing. It's sheni, and everything past sheni is all included in sheni. However, we're suggesting now, based upon Dako Bekach, that perhaps it all depends upon that fundamentally. And if it's not Dako Bekach, there could be a leniency. And it's the same pshat in the my pshat in the Rajba, based on Rabbi Ida's pshat, that Dako Bekach must be the critical role. Otherwise, how can you say that if you put water into water and some total is the Yatzel lettuce bowl, there's mutter? How is it possible to say it? So, I'm just giving you my own suggestion. Okay. Let's go further in this important discussion. So we mentioned, I believe, already last time, although the Mechaber is Mekel and Klisheni, because the Mechaber says it's only prohibited in one funny case. Ironically, paradoxically, case of Bishul Acharafia. Bishul Acharafia, which according to many poskim, was Heta Gomer, there, Dafka there, the Mechaber's Machmer for Klisheni. Why? Simple. It's pre-softened. It's Rach and Dach. It's very, very soft. Because it's soft, it can more be more easily done in a klisheni. But more than that, it's much more than that. It's because Dako Bekach. Gentlemen, which of you put baked goods into a klirishin? When's the last time you threw anything, you threw any bread, cake, donut into a pot which is or was on the fire? I'm not sure what French onion soup is, so I can't answer that question. Matzah balls is perhaps one exception, but
French toast.
French toast is not cooked; that's on a pan, which is probably not considered to be cooking. But by Rabosai, have any of you ever put a baked good into a klisheni, whether Dunkin' Donuts or challah in your soup, or right? It seems to me that whenever we measure something, we measure one against the other. Right, in determining what's Dako Bekach. Most foods, you want to cook it, you put it into a kli rishon. Why not? It's another way to do it. But baked goods, the reality is, they're usually processed in kli sheni, not kli rishon. That's why the mechaber was machmer only by baked goods and by nothing else. That's shittas mechaber. The Mogen Avraham is worried about kli sheni for two reasons: mirzik and mevashel and kalei habishel. And we Ashkenazim at least follow the Mogen Avraham. And the Mishnah Brewer and the Alter Rebbe fighting about Shar Mashkin. Water is mutter, Shemen is mutter, Mefurash Gemara, Tavlin is mutter. What about Shar Mashkin? So why isn't water considered to be Mezik and Mevashel? How come no one asked me that question? Why is water, we saw in the Membeis, is mutter Beklisheni, but why? It's Mezik and Mevashel according to Tosis on Daf Membeis. So my answer is, no, because the water is put there to cool down the hot, not to heat up the cold. If you wanted to heat up cold water, you would have put it into a klirishin. If you want to cool it down, it's not mechzik and mevashel. I have a kasha, Rabosai. What about if you're putting the water in a bottle? Putting the water in a bottle in a klisheni. Then you cannot tell me it's there to cool down the rest of the water. It doesn't mix in. So it should be prohibited. So how is it possible that the Mishnah Brewer tells us that he accepts Mechzik and Mevashel, and he doesn't argue with the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Gimel that allows you to put a bottle of water with Shai Mashkim in a klisheni. How do you guys answer that question? Only answer I have is same thing. He distinguishes between in a jug and not in a jug. It's only Mechzik and Mevashel when it's not in a jug. When it's in a jug, it's not Mechzik and Mevashel. Who suggested that? The Shmir Shabbos Kilchos himself. We saw that that footnote. Turn to the Shmir Shabbos, please, if you don't mind. It's page 85, perhaps. 85. I believe we discussed this a little bit last time. He's still over here. 85. He said the Chacham Echad. Did we discuss Chacham Echad last time? Did we mention him?
We did.
I thought we did. So the Chacham Echad says the Mefurash of Mechaber was Mekel. And I told you that proves nothing. The other Mechaber is Mekel. The Mogen Avraham is the fight about within the Alter Rebbe and the Mishnah Brewer. The Ein Lechalek Bein Hechishin and Tzom HaMashkin the Toch Kli. The Bein Mashkin Shemar Vosom HaKli Shein HaDachomer Tvei. Can't be, because the whole proof that they brought that Shemet is not Beklisheni is taken from a case of a jug, Tul Beklisheni Vitain. So apparently they're exactly the same. So of course the answer is, yeah, that proves that Shemet is not Mispashal in a Kli Sheni. With respect to real Ani, with the goodness Bishal, they're the same. With respect to Milzik and Mevashal, apparently they're different. It only applies, according to the Mishnah Berurah, if it's poured in straight, not if it's poured in a jug. So it would appear. If you look a few lines later, we discussed before about our tavlin, we saw it in Rabbi Ida Sefer here too, our spices, why are they different? Last three lines. The kevan shem dakim ma'od. They're granulated. Kol shken shem is bashlim gam beklisheni. Certainly they will. It's also very important, the kud that we saw before. So bottom line is, it seems to me, we have to be machmir ti in a klisheni and a klishlishi, because it's dak or bakach, and therefore there's no heter of whatsoever. It's dak or bakach. Now, as far as the machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Alter Rebbe, but Shah Mashkim, so you have to take it on two levels, the Merzik and Mevashal level and the Kali Abishal level. So as far as Merzik and Mevashal is concerned, we can make a distinction and say, if you intend to cool off the hot, it's not Merzik and Mevashal. So maybe it's not the same. I'll give you two scenarios. Putting milk into coffee and putting tea scents into hot water, right? They're both cases of mashkim, which are going into a kli sheni. One could distinguish. I believe that milk and I don't drink either, but I think a milk and coffee is to cool down the coffee. Am I correct? I think so. Whereas the scents in the tea is to heat up the scents. So the two could be different. You know, different according to this understanding. It might be different, not necessarily the same. That's in the perspective of what we called the Merzik and Mevashal. From the perspective of Kali Abishal. So Kali Abishal, so the Mogan Avraham is Machmir by Klisheni, because you know, there are some foods which are Kali Abishal and they're normally put in Klisheni even. Such as, we said, baked goods, or those cases in the Mishnah of Dag Meluach, etc. So therefore, the Magen Rambam says, low plug. Low plug. We have to ask all foods in a klisheni for fear that we may get the wrong one, which is the akab klisheni. Comes to liquids, says the Rebbe, we don't find mashkin that are normally, at least in those days, that are normally heated up in a klisheni. So they were made by mashkin. Whereas I believe the Mishnah Berurah says, no, we're machmer across the board, except for the specific case which the Gemara is making on. Water, yes. Shemen, yes. Tavlin, yes. And that's it. Can't go any further than that. Can't really the pshat in this machlokas gedolei haposk. Okay. Are there any questions before you proceed? Yes.
That Torah source in the Mem on the base that speaks about the inclusion of Klisheni. Which reason would that fall into? Is that a third reason that why Klisheni is aimed at Vashel?
No. Tosfos is giving a pshat in physics. Why is the klirishin is mevashal? The answer is because the walls are hot and they hold in the heat. I'm saying that as a result of the laws of physics, people have become used to cooking things in a klirishin. Why do it in a klisheni when it's not going to be able to hold in so much heat? So now I'm saying, if you have the bad luck, you put something to a klisheni and it so happened to reach out to a lettuce bowl, the Rashba case of the water, so what? It's not a normal way. There's no shadow of a deraisa. Rabbanu made a kind of a low plug of the cooler. That's my pshat in the Rashi. That's my pshat.
So one should be allowed to cook tea even a klisheni based on that?
One should be not allowed to cook even a klishlishi based on that. Because the reality is, in today's world, tea bags are more likely to be put into a klishlishi than to put into a pot of nevaya. That's just the reality. So it's daka bakach. It's like the baked goods of the mechaber. Kaini, really. Yes?
Milk bottle to heat up in a
klisheni
is a
what
the
because
it looks like you're heating
the milk. Right, it looks like it's eating milk. But what are you going to do with the mechaber who seems to be makel? So you have to say because it's in a bottle.
But that's
isn't it? You're asking as follows: forget about the merzik and mevashel. What are you going to do with the bishul problem proper?
If it gets the azalea, it's going to get
All right, so here's the answer. The answer is as follows. The answer is, it's a good question. From the perspective of Nirek and Mevashel, we're balabatim. We can say, in Kli, in a jug, it's not Nirek and Mevashel, and if it's just poured in, it is Nirek and Mevashel. Well, say what we want. But in terms of the Kali Abishal aspect, what's going on? So you have to presumably say that generally speaking, liquids are not Kali Abishal. Not Kali Abishal. Because, you know, it's a matter of heat. It's not Kali Abishal, and therefore you would normally do it only in a Kli Rishon should be matter all liquids in Kli Sheni, which is what the Altler Rebbe says. And even the Mishnah Berurah, who's makel beyond the water and oil of the Gemara, so he presumably, since he doesn't argue with the Mechaber and Sifrit Gimel, says that it's different than the jug. But you ask him, what's the difference? From the perspective of Kalabish, what's the difference in the jug or not? That's your question. So I have to say as follows. From the perspective of Kali Abishal, it's het the gummer. All liquids are mutter. It can only be measured on the Merzik and Mevashel plane. That's the only way out, otherwise, it gets stuck in a big kasha. Okay. So these are some of the highlights of this area of Shulchan Aruch. Very important. Let's talk about now Iwui. This is our last year on Bishul. We only have more than halfway done. We haven't even started talking about Iwui, which is a critical, critical question. So let's just discuss it briefly. We won't get too far. It's a long Tosis of Membeis and Medbeis. That's a Machlokes, three sheeters by Iwui. Mevashel Bekulo, not Mevashel at all, and Mevashel L'Kadei Klipa, because Tatogava, the Mekel Ebola. Okay, I hope you saw the Ma'amah Kermes. It's a Tosis of Membeis and Medbeis. I don't have time to read the whole Tosis right now. Bottom line is in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Sif Yud. Let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yud. Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud. Skipping over the sources, I'm sorry. It's for the sake of time. Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud is on page 148. Asur Litein Tavlin V'Kara V'Laras Aleihem Mikli Rishon. That's Mamash Iru Mikli Rishon is a major problem. There's a whole discussion in the subsequent Sifim. Maybe it does not apply if you're pouring water on water, because then they just get dissipated. But water on a salad, Mefurash and Shulchan Aruch, is absolutely prohibited. Finished. Says Agosa B'Kiveger, Be'isa V'heta Klal Kosav, Te'ein Isa Elaros Alach Tavlin Atzman, direct pour, Avalishpuch B'tzidon Lo, but to pour along the cup, and it's going to end up hitting the tavlin, would be permissible according to the Isa V'Heter. Let's look at the Prima Gadim, Tzarihe Yud Ches. Okay, that's what he says. The Chiddush of Rabbi Kiveg. Is it really true? Not necessarily the case. Why? Because if you look in Yoredeya, I think we do have some of the Yoredeya here. We can't read everything. Let's take a look in the Yoredeya, which we have over here a little bit. It's interesting, before we go to the Yoredeya, so we obviously paskin that Iwui is Mevashel, but it's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch how much. Is it a Kadei Klipa or is it Bekulo? Because there are three sheet, it's not Mevashel at all, that we don't accept. But there's still two shitas left. So the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasim want to go out on a limb and assume halacha lemaisa, it's only Mevashel L'Kadei Klipa. To me, that's an unwarranted chiddush. I wouldn't climb on that limb. I'd be afraid to climb. I'm afraid the limb's going to fall down. We take a look over here in the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasim. It's page 80. And 84, top of the page, it says on top, Mutalitin Bakbuk Amechel Cholavatoch Kli Reik, Velaras Olavim Roschim, I feel him a Kli Rishon, then the Chavim Esel Cholav, Kuflam Ates in the bottom, Kia Irui Enem Avashel Elekade Klipa, Va Bakbuk Omed Bemokom Akle Klipa. Very nice. Quotes Yeredea Tadi Bez in the Shach. No! No! The Shach only said with respect to Bliya, Bli is a fairly low level discussion. There's no deraisa involved. Many tzadim lahakla in almost every case. Here, Shabbat deraisa. What gives the right to rely upon the poskim that we say for sure there's no bli beyond the klipa? I wouldn't want to rely on those poskim. So machlokas gedolia poskim. Yes.
Also, if you assume that the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni is on their official, so means you're saying that even in a kli sheni, so the same level of heat, so isn't it not as hard of a pot to say here is a klipa? Much like it's their official, it's not their official. Where do you get the klipa from?
So the answer, of course, is these poskim hold that kli sheni is enem avashel. For whatever the base is, that's the bottom line. Kli rishon is mevashel. If it's flying through the air, so then when it hits bottom, so we say tato govar. So Tosh says that the bottom one wins. But ademekale bola, while it's the bottom is cooling off the top, there's a little bit of a blia kadei klipa, and so to a bishul kadei klipa. It's a chiddush. You could have said it's only blia not bishul. According to some, we'll see in a minute. But the poskim equate bliya to bishul. So I say, since some poskim say it's mevashel, it's mavliya bekulo, perhaps it's mevashel bekulo also. I'm afraid to rely upon this leniency. I want to tell you the Mishnah Berurah talks about this as well. Take a look at Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan, Ayin Dalet. This Iwui story. Sifkatan Ayin Dalet, which is on the Mechabes Sif Yud, page, I believe, 184. Ayin Dalet at the end, Kli Rishon, after Tavlin Ein Mizbashel B'Kli Sheni, 185 on top, Mishnah Berurah, Mikol Makom Iruik M'Kli Rishon Kaimla Duhu Mavashel K'dei Klipa V'Afilu B'Di'Evet Aser Im Iru L'Hej Aleim. Whoa, that's a very big Kiddush. I would have said the Rashbam holds Iruik is Einem Mavashel. He's a nobody, the Rashbam. What can you rely on B'Di'Evet after the fact that it shouldn't be Aser to consume? That's what I would have said. Let's go further. It's only prohibitive im ira lehej aleihem, means he's taken to account Rabbi Kiva Eger, presumably. If it's only sliding down, it would be okay with the evet. Shelo nifslik akiluach, and the stream is constant from the kettle all the way until it hits the spices. Once it's stopped, drip, 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 it's again not a problem according to the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Ayin Dalet. Ayin Dalet. Now, seems to me that Nifsek HaKiluach should be even Mutal L'Chatchila, not only Mutal B'Di'evit, because Mutal L'Chatchila, because it seems that it's not really causing any Bishul, at most a Bliya, what we call L'Chumra. Maybe there'd be room to be more careful when it comes to Nifsak, but Mikra did, I thought, should be Mutter. Nizchal is a different story. Nizchal, we started discussing, it slides down the cup. What's the halachic status of something which slides down a cup? So the Ramor writes in Yoredeya that it is prohibited. It causes a blia of kedei klipa. The source for this is a Truma Sadeshen, and it's based on our Gemara that we saw last week about the story of Rebbe with the Shemim, page 46, gentlemen. Let's see, look inside. 46. Sheila. Remember, he wrote his own Shailas. K'deir Malaya Cholav Voseach Sheb Sefuso Eitzel Ha'esh Al-Akira U'machmas Ha'rosicha Yotza Cholav L'mala Me'ugnei Akli V'yanizchal V'nimshach B'kiluach B'lihefzik Derech Dofnei Akdeir Al-Gabi Akira Achigi Eitzel Bosar Shoya Kogamkin Al-Akira Michashvina Kiluach Adain Kiiru Miklirishin Vinesar Abosa O Neyma Kemish Nizchal Agavi Akira Niskare Lohoyer Osech. Good question, right? We assume Iri is a problem. What about Irish and Nizchal? Shuva Osir. What's his Raya? Shabbos Mevav Beis. Give a look. See, everyone with me. It's the first column of Kupchav Zayin here on 46. What happened? Rabbi Lemerchatz Pirish, So the Truma Sadesh and Paskins, Nischal is considered to be a Kli Rishon as long as that's a letter, well, it's a major problem. As I state in Truma Sadesh, and it's quoted in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Basa Bechal, you should have learned it in the Siman Tzadi Beis, Siv Zayin. Fine. So it's Truma Sadesh. Good. Problem is, there's another Mechah, another Ramah. Another Ramah, you can see, we have some Yoredeya Mekaris here somewhere, and there you'll find it. This is in page 158, gentlemen. The Kitzer, line 3 in the Ramo. Avlam ira mayim roschim she'enan shalbosav lo shalcholav al kelim shalbosav v'shalcholav biyachad v'afilu shuman davak behem hakol shari. Wait a minute. Put boiling water on a dish, a sink full of dishes. Some flesh, some milk. It's all greasy. Mutter. Hey, this contradicts what we just said. Here's the Irish and Nischal does not cause a bliya. It's a major problem. Make up your mind, Irish and Nischal. Make up your mind, Ramah. Is it a problem or is it not a problem? So a whole bunch of answers have been given to this. I don't have time to go into them. Some say it depends if the pot is actually on the fire at the moment that the hot water exits it. In Sadi Beis it is, and in Sadi Hey it's not. He actually picked it up. That's answer number one. Answer number two, it causes blia. That's the in Sadi Beis. But here what you have to have, Maflit umavlia. You have to take it from the fleshik and onto the milchik. That's the equivalent of bishul. So they say it causes blia, yes, but bishul, no. That's a problem because we generally pass and the two go together. It's a machlok, it's by Klisheni and elsewhere. We assume it really does go together. So my pshat in this Ramah, and Ramah is something very similar. Rabosai, we said before the entire influence of Irui, it's Kedei Klipa, that's it. Then it turns into a pumpkin. That's nothing. There's no power. So if I'm pouring Fleishik on Milchik, says in Sadi Beis, once it hits, bingo, it's already awesome. Even if it's Nischal. Over here, what are we talking about? The water is plain water. The water is being poured over Fleishik dishes and Milchik dishes. Okay? So what? What you want to happen is that this water should take the fleshiks and bang it into the milchiks. Doesn't happen because the fleshiks and the milchiks are not within the klipa of each other. So just can't achieve that. I repeat, fleshiks are milchiks, so the verse, it would create an issa. Power of a water on fleshiks and milchiks, it's only if it's going to be within the klipa. The case, the classical case that the Ben Tam said, you took water and you poured it on a chicken before you salted the chicken. So it takes the blood from one capillary, moves to the next capillary, and that's it. You can't salt it anymore. That's microscopic within a capillary. Even if you can see it, but that's very small. Here, even if dishes are near each other, there's going to be a little bit of a gap. That's my pshat in this din of the Ramah. Truth to tell, the Shach argues the Ramah. Right here, the Shach says it's wrong. The Shach says, what's the source for the Ramah? Where did he get this din from? An incredible din. Where did he get it from? It says on the side. Right, and where does it say on the side the Ramah's sources? Let's say over here, Yud Ches. Are we cut off here? In this decision, I think it's. It's Yud Ramah. Iser veheter ha'aruch. Sound familiar? Where did we mention his name before a few minutes ago? Who quoted Iser Veheter? Who? What's his name? Kiveger. The Issa Behetarach, secret. Hold on the Rashbam. The Iris Kiklisheni. All right, so for you, of course this thing is true. And the Rashbam, you know, I hold like the Rashbam. It's nothing. But, just to play it safe, as a Chumah B'Yalma, don't pour the water directly over the tavlin. Slide it down. But it seems to me that the East of Etel Shitoso that he holds like the Rashbam, we don't follow the Rashbam. Therefore, we maybe shouldn't follow the Ramah. So this is what we can justify with our own lumdus along the lines of Rav Moshe. There's an impact from the hot to the cold, from the flesh to the milk, because not within a click of each other. But the Rabbi Kiveg had no business quoting the Sevet Aruch. We don't paskel like that. He's quoting the Rashbam. I have a stark attack of Rabbi Kiveg. Why did he quote? You can pour down the side of the cup to bang it to the tablin. Who said that? He said, Vehet. He was like, Rashbam. We don't follow Rashbam. That's my taina. So you can't pour it down the side of the cup either, if you ask me. Even though Kiveger is somewhat lenient. Now, Rabosai, there is another Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa on real Chumra. Catch this one. It's so relevant to our urns. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, along the lines that we spoke. Rabosai, did we see that Gemara today? No. Let's see the Gemara one more time just to refresh our memories. Page 6. Was a Maisa. Story. Tell a story. Pamaras nechnasti acharev lebeis hamerchitz. Uvikashti, it's about the 10th wide line. L'niach lo pach shel shem abati v'amali tu b'klisheni b'tein. What does Rashi say? B'klisheni. B'klisheni. Achsu b'am bati. Kon brecha asuya v'kaka shamayim nechnasim sham v'neh esofim. The water slides across the ground and gathers in some hole in the ground. And he said, you can't do it. Only klisheni. But this ambati, shachamim nimshachim lo, min amayin, choshev lo, kikli rishin, shenir tuchubo. Afo pish, shavir me'alor mevashel. It's comparable to a klirish which is taken off the fire. So that's why it's no good. Rabosai, it comes out that this is correct. What does it seem to say? If I have a kettle, and I pick up the kettle from the, and I put it down, and I pour on a cup, that cup is klisheni. What if I have an urn? As the water is leaving the urn is, if you will, on the fire. Because there's a coil underneath the urn. That seems to be comparable to this Rashi in Shabbos of Emmaman Beis that might be considered to be a klirishin even when it's in the cup. Why is the cup different than the brecha? Started from the hot springs over here, slid across, and gathered over there. Because you never picked it up off. That's the century of an urn. So the Shmir Shabbos quotes this Chumrah, a Chumrah Nifla, from the Chazon Ish. That can be found over here on page 82. The end of the page on top, he says, if the water goes out of an urn, maybe it's treated as a klirishon. Maybe. Look on the bottom. Rashi Shabbos Lemon Bebeis. Okay. Shamati b'shem chazanish tatzal. Lists 8 lines. Then shofek mayim mitoch dutch omen ala eish mitoch hakos mikablim ha-mayim shebesoch hakos shem shel klirishin kevin shebeshas shvichos ha-mayim mechubarim leklirishin shomen ala eish. Says of Shmir Shabbos, sorry Chazanish, you're against the Ramah. What Ramah? Ela shetzarachin shemetzinu v'kiluach v'kdeir rosach ha-shaholach al-kdeir tzunenes nimsak al-kiluach. Din iri olav your dead tzadi bezayin v'ramo umayr shekadei rosachas yetzal ha'esh kot ha'chazesh shirasa b'kulo. Back and forth. Some say nechanami, but we don't follow that chumra. B'kitz ha'nimritz is a whole long footnote to discuss this issue. Bottom line, kot ha'rim shem ha'zalman kot ha'prim ha'godim holds the same way. It's not so simple. Amen gets to be make, not so simple. What about the Rashi? Well, in the Rashi's case, you could say the Truma suggestion suggested because the water was hot. excuse me, because the ground was hot. That was the Chumash and Ein Lomet. Don't tell me the ground is hot. It's very, that, no, maybe, that is significant. Maybe that is significant. Or, I have a different vart over there. Maybe in the case of Chamei Tredo, when it was a gushing water, never stopped. The water kept going and going and going and going. And that's why it's considered a Klirishon in that Brecha. Because it was uninterrupted flow of water, as opposed to an urn. The minute you turn off the spigot, the water flow is interrupted. So the number of ways, if you ask me, of somehow deflecting the raya of the Chazon Ish, perhaps. Now, again, we don't have time to go into the various day refutations. We're supposed to end in 2 minutes. We still have two things to discuss. Both are going to take a little more than 1 minute. One of them is the status of a ladle. A ladle. So the Mishnah Berurah discussed the ladle in Sifkaton Pei Zayin. This is very, very important. We're measuring what's Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. So the Mishnah Berurah Shinyuches Sifkaton Pei Zayin talks about a ladle. There is this 186. Klisheni mikri sheiru min klirishon sheretichu achamim b'sochol l'soch klizeh umuter afilim ayatzo letesbo. Avalim shoev b'klirekon mitoch klirishon. Yesh oma dedino k'klirishon. Because it was at one point in the pot of the fire. Ubifrat imasha klirekon b'sochol ashamal resicha. Vare mikri klirishon. If you leave it there long enough that there's actually steam coming out of that part of the cup which has the ladle in it, of the pot ladle in it, then for sure it's considered to be a klirishon. I don't have time to go into the details of sure, not sure. Bottom line is, it's a very serious halachic question. It does not seem to be fully resolved. Let's do a tatogavar, ilogavar, complex. Bottom, we have to be machmir and consider it to be a klirishon, as long as it's in a ladle, it was on the fire, that went into the soup walls on the fire. Chazon Ish is mekel, if you put the ladle into the pot after it came off the fire, I'm willing to accept that. Not everyone accepts it. I accept it. That happens in most Jewish kitchens on Friday night when they ladle out the chicken soup. What do they do? Because of the chumas hagosa, which you don't have time to even talk about really now. I'm so sorry. The very end of Shin Yud Ches, the very, very, very end. The last Mishnah Berurah talks about Chumas Hagosa. It's Sifkaton Kuf Yud Ches. There is an incredible, incredible Chiddush from the Kolbo, who says even if you have fully cooked item, you're not permitted to stir it as long as it's on the fire, for reasons so far unknown. You'll see it right there, Mishnah Berurah Kuf Yud Ches. So it's because of its problem. In most Jewish homes, when they stir, they serve out, it's like stirring a little bit. They'll take the pot off the stove and then dish out. Correct? Is that what's on your house? Says the Chazon Ish, that's not a problem of klirishon. When might the urn be called a klirishon if it's put into the pot while the pot is still on the fire? But not in this case. So for us, basically, we have a little bit of break if the Chazon Ish is correct. Not everyone agrees with him, but I think we have a right to rely upon that. So this is a brief issue of ladles. Again, I'm not sure it matters that much. We usually don't put things into the ladle itself. The question you take the ladle, put it into the soup, is that soup called a klisheni or a klishlishi? But according to me, it's of no consequence. It all depends if it's dark or not dark. So I'm not getting too excited about this. Mishnah Berurah gets excited about it. Oh, you use a ladle. That's the Mishnah Berurah back in Sif Hei. Talks about Dover Ha'ofui. So he said, you can't put it even to a klisheni. As I pass it to the Mechaber, Beferish, it's page 182. 182, you cannot put it into the soup in a klisheni, Beferish. Says the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkaton Mem, hey, what does he say? I lost it. Oh, towards the end of it. About halfway on the narrow lines, column 2 on page 182 in Mishnah Berurah. Olechol HaPochas, he says, Yishav v'kaf min HaKedera Kedei Shetia HaKa'ora Kli Shlishi. Look on the bottom, 3. Ayin LeKamon, Tzivkot and Pei Zayin. He's not so sure. It's tzirif hashita. Some say mishnah acharafia. Some say that is a cliche and is a cliche shlishit. If he asks me, it won't help at all. We saw it in the Urayan. Didn't we see the Urayan last time? No, it's cliche and shlishit. But okay, that's his mouth. Our last point, I don't have to go over time. Our last point is what's known as Dover Gush. Right over here, take a look in the same Mishnah Brura. The same Mishnah Brura. He says in the fifth line of column two, with a small ayin is, the Yesh Poskim, it's the Mogan of Rome under the Simon, Shesovim the Dover Gush Shemunach Beklisheni Dinuka Klirishin. Why? Who can tell me why? Why is a block, a solid piece of meat or potato, why should it have a status of Klirishin even though it's in a Klisheni? Who knows why? Yes? The walls of the dish are not going to have the same influence on a solid food, which has its own shape, as it would have on a liquid, which assumes the shape of its receptacle. Excellent. Excellent. So there are those who are machmir. It seems to me, however, there are more as befeirish mekel. Those who are machmir in Yerodea primarily. And within the machmirim, there are those who say we're only machmir that cliche, that gush causes a blia, but not a bishul. And it seems to me that Dover Gush is more kal than the ladle. Because in the ladle, what's special about the ladle? The ladle, since it one time is in the soup while it's on the fire, so you can't say that it has hot walls, because after all, the walls, this ladle was never really cooked anything on the fire. On the other hand, you can't say it's cold walls, because it was actually in the pot on the fire for a brief moment. Since this is neither here nor there, so it's undetermined. So we have to be machmir lechatchila to give the ladle the status of a kli rishon and the soup as a kli sheni, not shlishi. When it comes to Dover Gush, there is a wall that's cold. The bottom, the plate, it's only one, it's not four, it's not six, but at least it's one. So therefore, the psak halacha me'ikir adin is that Dover Gush is considered a kli sheni, not only if you're a day, but even mikra day when it comes to Shabbos, which is more chomer. But on the other hand, it's more kal, because you need bishul. It's not enough to have blia. So there's room to be maker by kli sheni. And an urn is a much more serious problem, because it is doesn't really have a cold wall. That wall is de facto hot, even though it only became hot through the shorter interaction on the pot. Rabosai, I know it's probably a blur for most of you. We're going quickly, and you have to get into the inyanim. But again, I like to keep to my time, and the time is hereby up. We have a break next week for Thanksgiving. Blineder, in 2 weeks from today, we start the second half of the semester, which is about Shehiya, Hachzara, Hanacha, the Gzeiro special, which is a totally different topic. Blineder will start in 2 weeks. Okay.